If you'd like to turn with me to John chapter 4. We are in John chapter 4 as we work our way through this gospel. We'll be looking at verses 27 to 42 this morning in just a minute. Now, years ago, we were taking the cliff walk in Ardmore, which is gorgeous, especially on a day like this. And we happened to come across a man who was leading a group. He was teaching people how to forage, which is kind of cool. So we came across the group at this little stream, and he was taking little clippings of this some little plant that was growing beside the stream. I don't know what it was. I couldn't find it for you. But apparently, it's great for food. I had been past that stream before. I never saw food there. I mean, I did technically see it, but I didn't see it as food. All I saw was one more green plant among lots of other green plants. We were looking at the exact same thing, and we were seeing something different. I was looking at this thing that when this man looked at it, he saw the real significance of what it was. And this morning, Jesus tells his disciples in our text today to open their eyes and see what they've been missing. They've been looking at it, but they've been missing the significance. So we need to do the same, because this is not just for Jesus' disciples back then. This is for us as well. We need to see what we're actually looking at, the significance of the people around us. So for context, remember last week, Colin was bringing us through the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman. She was shocked that Jesus was talking to her at all, that he, as a Jewish man, would speak to her, but he did. And he showed her that he is actually the Messiah that she was looking for. He invited her to find eternal life in him. So now we're picking up the story in verse 27. Chapter 4, verse 27, where the disciples come back from their shopping trip. They were grocery shopping in the town. So now they're coming back and finding Jesus speaking to this woman. So let's pick up chapter 4, verse 27. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work. You have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Now, there's some important things happening here that the disciples don't even notice at first, which is why Jesus tells them in verse 35, "Open your eyes and look at the fields." But obviously, their eyes were not actually physically closed. Their eyes were open. They were seeing the same world. They were seeing the same people that Jesus was seeing. They saw the woman at the well. They saw the people in the town. But they were not seeing the true significance of these people. Jesus tells them, open your eyes and look. See what's really going on, and not only to see it, but to do something about it. He talks about them going into the harvest, into the fields to work. So today, I want us to just think about how we can open our eyes and get a glimpse of what Jesus sees when he looks at the people around us. And with our eyes open, look at as well at how at the work that God has given us in his fields. So the first step, though, is to open your eyes and look at the fields. Verse 35. Now, the specific field that they're in at this time when Jesus says this is Samaria. And as Colin pointed out last week, the Jews generally saw Samaritans as compromised, heretical, the kind of people that you don't want anything to do with. But Jesus goes against the culture and he reaches out to this Samaritan woman. And when the disciples come back and they see him talking to her, they're really surprised. You see that in verse 27. But this woman, this Samaritan woman, is ready to respond to God. When Jesus speaks to her, when he shows her who he really is, as we saw last week, she accepts that. And she trusts him. And she went and told everyone in Samaria, verse 29, could this be the Messiah? So not only does she accept it for herself, but she wants to tell everyone about what she's found in Jesus. And many of them actually end up putting their trust in Jesus as well. As we see in verse 42, they say to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves after Jesus spends 2 days with them. And we know, they say, this man really is the savior of the world. So this was a woman, this was a whole town actually, who were ready to respond to Jesus. A bit like the Ethiopian eunuch that we saw in the Acts reading as well. There was a man who was ready as well to respond. But that's why Jesus says to his disciples, open your eyes and look at the fields, because if it had been up to them, they would have walked right by. They never would have thought of talking to this woman at the well. They could see her, but they didn't really see her. They had just been to the town to get food. But what did they see when they looked at the people in the town? Probably they saw compromised heretics. Maybe they saw some shopkeepers who could help them get food, but they didn't really see them as people. But when Jesus saw those very same people, he saw people who needed his salvation. He saw people that were worth caring about, worth taking time for. So Jesus says, open your eyes and look. And I wonder if Jesus would say the same to us. I think he would. I wonder if there are people around us that we've gotten so used to ignoring, like the disciples ignored the Samaritans. Maybe people we've kind of given up on or never really thought of sharing the good news about Jesus with, because maybe they just seem too hard-hearted. Sure, they would never respond, or too compromised, or too self-satisfied, or just too lost. Or maybe we just don't really think about them as people at all. They're just kind of people we walk past, or people we use for... Oh, okay, gonna throw things around. Maybe they're people in different kinds, you know, they're different kinds of people. The people, maybe we just run into in the shops. Maybe they're people that we never really run into naturally because they live in different social circles, or maybe they have a lifestyle that isn't like ours. Maybe their lifestyle isn't even good, kind of like the Samaritan woman. Maybe we bump into them regularly, but we don't really see them. We just move past them like the disciples. We don't see them like Jesus. We need to see their need for the gospel. We need to see their need for the Lord. Do we see them as people made in God's image? Do we see the people around us that Jesus wants to save them? Do we see what God wants to do for them and in them and through them? Are we actually looking for how we can be part of what God is doing in their lives? And what does God want to do in their lives? What does God want to do with the people around us? Look at verse 36. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may be glad together. Jesus tells us that God is growing a crop for eternal life. That's what he wants for the people around us. I mean, is there a better crop than that? There's lots of things growing in the fields right now, but this is a better crop than anything that's growing in any field anywhere. A crop for eternal life. This is what Jesus offered to the woman at the well. In verse 14, we saw that last week. Whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst, he said. Indeed, this water that I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is saying that he is growing this eternal life in people. And not only that, he's telling us that we can have a part in sowing and harvesting this crop for eternal life in the people that God has put around us. He's inviting us to work in his fields, to grow the greatest crop that is possible. Of course, it's not a crop we can grow on our own. Not without Jesus. I mean, he's the only one who has the power to actually give life. We can't actually give life to anything, no matter how much we want to. But Jesus can, and the power to give this eternal life comes through the seed of his gospel. Only Jesus can give us, as a gift, this gift of forgiveness, his own righteousness, his own never-ending life. And he does that through his death in our place for our sin. And his resurrection for us. But look at verse 36. This crop for eternal life, it can only come through Jesus. But Jesus himself clearly says that we have a role. He has shared this work with us. He gives us the privilege of sowing and harvesting crops in his fields. So once we open our eyes and see what God is doing in the people around us, what God wants to grow, this harvest for eternal life, then we should also open our hands and join his work. It's true that only God can give eternal life. Only he has the power to give life through his gospel, through what Jesus has done. But we also have a work to do as well. Jesus speaks of two different kinds of work that we can do in his fields. One is sowing and the other is reaping. Look again at verse 36 and 7. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I've sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work. You have reaped the benefits of their labor. In God's fields, there is sowing and there is reaping. When Jesus said this in Samaria, this town was ready for harvests. It was ready for reaping. They were ready to trust in Jesus. But the disciples wouldn't have noticed that at all, because they weren't looking for a harvest in Samaria. They weren't even thinking about those people as people who needed the Lord. But Jesus saw those people as what they really were. He saw the real significance of them, and he saw that they were ready to respond to his salvation. They were ready for this harvest of faith, faith that leads to eternal life. But I want you to see this as well. How did the people of Samaria get to the point of being ready to respond to Jesus? Well, we're not told the details, but Jesus does tell us something important about the process. He says in verse 38, others have done the hard work. And now the disciples could enter into their work and reap the benefits of their labor. What is this hard work? Jesus calls it sowing. It's planting the seed that has the power to grow into a harvest of eternal life. And what seed is that? It is only the message of the gospel, the good news of God's salvation, his forgiveness, his welcome to all who put their trust in him and follow him as their Lord, as their Savior. Jesus himself had been one to sow this seed with the woman at the well. The prophets had also planted it long before. The Samaritans had the scriptures. The prophets had planted that same seed, pointing to Jesus as the Savior who would come. And there may have been others along the way that God had used in their lives to point them to the Lord, to point them to the hope of his salvation that would come in Jesus. But the point that Jesus is making here is that sowing comes before the harvest. Now, obviously, when it comes to sharing the good news of God's salvation, there's no question the reaper has the most fun part of the job. They get the joy of seeing someone turn from darkness to light, someone submit to God, receive the joy and life and peace and salvation. I mean, there's nothing better than seeing someone who is lost be found, genuinely found in, come home to Jesus. So of course we want that joy, and we should want that joy for everyone around us. But Jesus shows us here there's another kind of gospel work that is just as vital. In fact, it's the work that makes the joy of reaping possible, and that is the work of sowing. And Jesus calls that work hard work. Notice he doesn't call reaping hard work. He only calls sowing hard work. And I think that's because sowing can be often so uncertain. We don't know how people will respond to the gospel message. Matthew 13, Jesus shares a parable about the sower and the seed. And the sower goes out and spreads the seed, but then some of them are snatched away. Some of them are choked out by weeds. Some of them wither with the heat. In other words, sowers don't always know what will happen with the seed they sow. And you might have experienced that in your own life. Maybe in sharing the good news of God's salvation with family members who just reject it, or neighbors or co-workers who might even make fun of your faith. But even if the ground is hard, our job is the same. We have this gospel seed that can grow a harvest of eternal life. Nothing else in the world can do that. We've got to open our eyes and see the needs in the fields around us and the people around us. Whether it's hard or not is really not the point. This ground, this place, these people, we all need the gospel. The gospel is the only seed that can bring a harvest of eternal life for anyone. It is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. And that includes everyone. No one can, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me, but anyone can come. The gospel can change even the hardest, even the most barren, most hopeless heart, even the most hopeless situation into just a garden of life that is overflowing. If you're here this morning and you haven't put your trust in Jesus, please know that this gospel is for you. You can have this life in Jesus. You can have his forgiveness through the power of his death in your place, his resurrection in your place. You can put your trust in him even today. But if you know the Lord this morning, then I want to encourage you that if you're sharing about the Lord with others, it doesn't lead to an immediate harvest of faith. Take heart. Jesus said sowing is hard work. That's true. It is hard work. But we have the gospel seeds that can lead to a harvest of eternal life. And even if we're not the ones to see that harvest, even if it's someone else who sees the harvest from the seed that we sow, it's still good. Verse 36 says, we can be glad together. We can sow where we can. We can reap when the time comes when God gives that harvest. But we can all rejoice together. whether we're sowing or reaping, whoever does what. Psalm 126 says, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Now is the time to open our eyes and look at the people around us for who they really are and see their need for the Lord as well and join God's work in God's fields. Jesus says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may be glad together. We dare not sit back and say, well, it's still 4 months to the harvest, because we think people are just not ready for the gospel, or their hearts are too hard, or the culture is just too dark. No, even now there is a harvest. God is at work. We don't know what he's doing in people's hearts. But there is also at the very same time this constant, ongoing hard work of sowing to be done, because God uses that hard work to grow his harvest of eternal life. God is growing his harvest here. God's life can grow anywhere through the power of the gospel, of what Jesus has done for us. It's not just in the places we're used to or the places we might expect. It's not just with the people that we're comfortable with. He could be working in our enemies. He could be working in people who are making terrible life choices right now. He could be working in people whose lives are a huge, complicated mess, like the Samaritan woman's life was a mess. But God was working in her heart. He could be working in criminals. He could be working in the rich or the poor, unjust people who hurt us. He could be working in moral people who think they're good enough on their own without Jesus, or people who think they're better than we are and look down at us. He could be working in heretics and compromised people, the modern day Samaritans, the people we walk past every day, the people we might not even notice or even see as people at all. But we've got to open our eyes. We've got to open our eyes and see them all like Jesus does. And not just see them, but join God's work wherever we can. Sowing this gospel of life, of salvation, of forgiveness, so that everyone can know how they can have that life, and so that we can reap a harvest of faith and eternal life. Open your eyes. God is working around us. Do you see it? Open your hands. How can we join him? He's given us work to do in his harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. There is eternal life. There is eternal joy at the end of this harvest. So let's open our eyes and see what God is growing around us, and open our hands to join the work, so that we can rejoice in that harvest. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for your provision for us in Christ, that you have given us the seed that can bring a harvest of eternal life for ourselves and for everyone around us, Lord, who puts their trust in you. Lord, we thank you for entrusting this gospel to us. We pray that you would help us to see the people around us like you do. Not to walk by, not to ignore them, not to assume that they cannot trust you or have life in you, Lord. But I just pray that you would give us the eyes of Jesus to see the people around us for who they really are, for what you want to do in their lives, for maybe what you are doing, Lord. That you would show us, that you would help us and give us the strength to join you in that work. However you give us opportunity. And I pray that we would be faithful in that work, Lord, and that we would see your spirit working in power to bring a harvest of eternal life in this place. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.